Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Broadcasting live today, standing together with our friends in the bushfire zone at Batemans Bay in southern New South Wales, partnering with Samaritan's Purse. And the first guest I want to introduce us to, his name is Peter. Peter Poole is one of those wonderful people who not only has been a part of the emergency response, but also personally affected by the bushfires. Peter, a special welcome along.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Peter, give us a little impression. First of all, your own personal circumstance, your home just south of Batemans Bay, what was going on? And just this must be 2 months ago?
Yes. Look, it's been quite a frightful event for me. I live actually in the bush near the Maruya Airport, which is around about 15, 20 minutes just south of Batemans Bay. But I've also been living in the bay for 20 years, and I've been in different suburbs of the bay, so I know the layout quite well. But where I am, with the fuel on the ground out in the bush, it's just horrendous, and I can imagine why these fires were so bad. But I've got experience and knowledge because I've been with the Army and, of course, with the Marine Rescue Association with New South Wales, Marine Rescue New South Wales, and I've been able to have a knowledge of weather, and this has helped me greatly. The biggest problems that we have are the different wind directions, and predominantly we've had a northwesterly wind, a northeasterly wind, and of course the southerly and the southeast winds and the southwest winds. So basically, over these last couple of months, from the beginning of December right up until maybe 3 weeks ago, the wind would be changing the direction and wind strength. Now, anything above 15 kilometres an hour will spark the fires from the stumps and things like that. And then when we had other stronger winds, then the bushfire would start again from that direction.
Now, this is the interesting thing, isn't it, about Batemans Bay and why our friends at Samaritan's Purse are set up here in Batemans Bay, because it wasn't just one bushfire threat. These bushfire threats in Batemans Bay were relentless. There was something like four or five times that so many homeowners had to go through evacuation procedures. What was it like for you?
Well, I had to evacuate four times. And towards the fourth time, and I think I speak with many people, we sort of started to become complacent. Oh, here we go again. But I had to, with my experience, I knew that I could not be complacent. In actual fact, from where I was, well, if I go back to December, I was out at Wagga, and we had the first Currawin fire. Now, this is before the other fires had started in this region, and I drove from Wagga to Marine Rescue. That was on the 2nd of December. And on the 3rd of December, the Currawin fire started, and that's the one that went just north of Batemans Bay, through to Pebbly Beach, Bawley Point region that way, and it was just north of Nelligan. And with Marine Rescue, we jumped onto our 38-foot boat, and we did a beach patrol right through to Pebbly Beach. The weather, there was ash falling, the smoke was so thick that the sun was just a little golden glow. And you could see, you couldn't actually see the flames, but you could see the big golden glow that was through the dark smoke. And that was just on that particular day.
Peter, I know we've only got you for a few minutes, and when we talk about those sorts of conditions, the hardships that people were under, no doubt people were very fearful at that time too, and any sort of evacuation order is going to raise in people a certain level of anxiety. But you're involved with Marine Rescue and available through those times, rescuing people off the beach when the bushfires had reached all the way to the beaches. People had fled to the beaches. Give us a little insight there on some of those rescues that you were involved in.
Right. The rescues I was involved in was Nelligan. Nelligan was impacted for months, every day, every night, and different winds. We went up the Clyde River through Nelligan, and we had to do beach rescues there on numerous occasions, especially in Wapawindi Road area, where there was only one road in and it was always blocked by fire. So the only way we could rescue these people was by boat. And the beach rescues, we were fortunate that the fires did not impact right near where we were. But Ulla Dulla came down and went to Bawley Point and did a beach evacuation there.
Peter, let me ask you about the people when they've evacuated from their homes. They're on the beach. They see you there in the rescue craft, and you come and you take them onto the boat. What sort of emotional state are people in? Are they running on adrenaline? Is it the fact that they're in survival mode? Or how emotional are people when they're being rescued?
Look, it's always time factor. By the time, like I spoke to people that were in the evacuation centre, and they said that their husbands were going to stay and fight. And their plan was that when the fire came, they would down tools, jump in their car and go straight to the beach. The problem that we do have there is that until we have people on the beach, we are not activated. And what happens then also is that if there is huge flames, we can't send our vessels into the flames. So there's always a time delay. That delay then becomes fearful for people, and time just sort of quickens up, that their emotions start to run high. Until things do settle down. But if we look at the Mallacoota fires, which they all joined together with the different wind directions, and it was one big fire basically from the south of the border right up to the north of the border up to Queensland. But it took, I think, around about 10 days for that evacuation by sea at Mallacoota. And then there were people that had problems that couldn't go on board the Navy vessels as well. So I really feel for those people because their emotions are running high. With me, I know that the Lord was providing for me. I did not need to worry. My trauma was nowhere near as bad as what other people was, because I know that through my faith, I have hope. And that hope there was that the Lord was guiding me, and I know that God is in control.
Well, Peter, that hope factor is such an empowering factor, and you are a walking demonstration of that. And as you are able to give that testimony, and as you are able to continue your role in that emergency service, rescuing those people through times of hardship, even though yourself and your own home and your own family were under threat from bushfire in that time. Peter, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and share your heart with us today on 2020.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you for letting me be a part of this Christian organisation. Thank you.
We're sitting under an annex with the National Disaster Relief Unit headquarters that is set up in Batemans Bay. And we'll have a chat about some of the way this whole system works in just a few moments. But I do want to say we're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. Erica is on the line from Beachmont on the Gold Coast in Queensland. Hello, Erica.
Hello, good morning.
Erica, wonderful to hear from you. You had your own bushfire activity that was going on in Beachmont. Give us a little insight into what you went through.
Well, my husband and I are part of the volunteer fire brigade at the Clagribar station, and some of our members have been away 3 months at a time over the last 6 months. Anyway, our story is about... look, this takes away nothing from those who have lost any loss at all. It is simply to illustrate the glory of God in his kindness and mercy, what he did for us. Right.
So a little in a nutshell story, Erica. Yes. What is your story here?
The story is that we live in the bottom of a valley. The other side of the ridge, as the crow flies, 3.5 kilometres away, the fires were racing up in the middle of the night at 1 a.m. We got an SMS saying, Lower Beachmont area, evacuate now. My husband said, no, I'm sleeping. Let me know when needed. So I got really worried, and I went outside and I prayed. And I asked the Lord to stop the wind. And the wind stopped. And then every 2 hours, the wind would start up again. And I went outside and I said, wind, in Jesus' name, the Lord has stopped you. You stop. And because it was coming from the direction of where the wind was. This whole valley, the people don't even know, because one Christian prayed and asked for God's mercy and grace.
So, Erica, your home was spared in that circumstance.
All of us were spared because of the Lord and praying for the whole village, valley.
Well, Erica, honour to you for taking the initiative to stand there and to pray. And like so many others listening to our conversation today, we'll give glory to God that the wind was held back in your valley, and that your home was spared, and that the other homes in your valley were also spared. Erica, thank you so much for being a part of 2020 today.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.